Begin. Okay, we're up to Perek Ches. We are up to the beginning of Perek Ches by Yom Ahu. Before we do Perek Ches, I came across yesterday something that's probably the most bizarre thing that I've seen in the entire Megillah. Okay, let me read you a Targum Sheni. Now, it's the Targum Sheni on the last Pasuk of Perek Zayin. Yesterday we concluded Perek Zayin. Vayistua Saman Elo Eitz Shehechel Mordechai veChamas Hamelech Shachacha. Haman was hung on the tree which was prepared for Mordechai, and the anger of the king subsided. We discussed yesterday Shachacha. There are two chavs. It should say Shachah, but Shachacha, a double resting of anger, one for Vashti and one for Esther. Achashverosh never really calmed down for what had happened to his first wife. Okay, we also mentioned that Hashem was anger subsided, and the anger of the Melech Bas Avadam, Achashverosh, his anger as well subsided. But we mentioned briefly yesterday the Targum Sheni that discusses that the question, who was given the instructions to hang Haman? Were the instructions delivered to Charvoina, or were the instructions delivered to Mordechai? So on the very simple reading, it was Charvoina. Charvoina was the one who made the suggestion that Haman should be hung. So it was Charvoina that was assigned the task to carry out the work. But the Targum Sheni says it's not the case. It was Mordechai. Mordechai was the one that was given the task to execute him. Now, we mentioned yesterday also that when he realized what is about to happen, he begged Mordechai, don't hang me. Instead, if you have to kill me through the cheref, through decapitation, so at least I will go down in history as have died with a dignified death, a death that's given to people of nobility, not a death that is a death of a common criminal. Now, the Targum here, let me read you the Targum Sheni. When he saw, after begging Mordechai, it's a very, very long Targum Sheni, after begging him to have pity upon him and kill him through the cherev, he saw that he was not getting anywhere. He cried. Haman gave out a shriek, a cry, and he made the following statement. Again, I'm reading here from the Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni goes back 1,000 years. You don't have it in front of you. You only have the regular Targum. You have Targum Sheni. That variant. Okay, this is pasuk Vayitlus Haman. Vayitlus Haman. It's Perek Zayin. Pasuk Yud. Maybe it's pasuk before. Pasuk before. Okay, it's towards the end. I think it's very, very long, right? I'm just quoting from a certain section. I have here the whole Targum Sheni also in front of me, but it's very, very long. I don't know exactly which part I'm referring to. I'll just read these words. He gave off of Bilala Uvichia El Tech Ginas Habisan, Vichain Omar, and he said as follows. Ha'azinu olai atzei hagan. Listen to me, the trees of the garden, the hanitoim asher noitoi mimei bereshis, and the plants that have been planted from the days of creation. Ki ben hamidasa mevakesh la'alois. Listen to me, I'm making this statement. He's addressing the trees of the gan and the neti'im that have been planted from the day of the days of old. Ki ben hamidasa, referring to himself, mevakesh la'alois. He wants to ascend le'Alexandria shel ben pandira. To Alexandria. Now, what does Alexandria mean? Name of a place? Alexandria shel Mitzrayim.
Yes.
It's the name of a place, but here it says to the Alexandria You found it? Did you found it?
Didn't come till much later.
Yeah, but the city was called Alexandria.
Before Alexander the Great?
No, he's referring to the city that we know.
Alexandria, it's the name of a place. You won't know exactly where this is. I see it here now. I see it here in my printing of the Targum Sheni. It gets a Perek, it's Perek Pasuk Tes. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes. It's about 80% down. 80% down. V'chein Omar. Okay, I'm reading you the Hebrew. I'm sorry. I'm reading you the Hebrew translation. That's why I'm confusing you. V'chein Omar. Okay. V'chad Chazo. V'chad Chazo Hamon Dolo Mishtamin Miloy. Okay. It's about three. No. It's about halfway through the Targum. Halfway through the Targum. V'chad Hamon.
Rabbi Levine, where are you now in
Zion? Perek Zion. Targum Sheni, Pasig Yud.
Okay, Memo 11. The first column, near the bottom of the first column of David Memo 11.
Memo 11?
Can you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did he say? V'chad Hamon Hamon Dolod, V'chad Chazo Hamon Dolod Mishtamin Miloy. Metal I laya, he brought forth a cry. Uvechisa al nafshe, b'mitzius in the middle ginas b'sono. Mesiv v'chein amar, he raised up his voice and so he said, Otzisuli, listen to me. Ilo naya, the trees, v'chol shis silaya, and all of the plants, di shis solis, that have been planted min yoimei bereshis, from the days of old, debar hamdasa, referring to himself, bo'ei, he wants, misuk, to go up, le'ach sandra, okay, he called Alexandria, I'm sorry, I made it probably wrong, le'ach sandaria, to the abode, to the home, and achsandra means like a home, debar pandira, of bar anadira, period. Okay, and then it goes further. This part, then it says, "Iskanshu chol hoin." All of them gathered together. The otzu etza min diromech, and they everyone. Now this is really the next section. All of the people there got together, and they said,
"Do you know what this is? This kandara."
Oh, that's exactly what I'm coming to address. I just want to show you the context. Okay, so this is a very big mystery. No one really knows what this is. I just want to get to it. So let me just give you the context. And then the next part of the Targum, he goes on to say that there's in the discussion. Which tree is going to be the one that's going to be selected? It's going to be selected for hanging Ham. Now, that's the list. Targum Sheni is a little bit strange because we know that the eitz was either a piece of wood that was used for the teva. Or we learned yesterday it was a piece of wood that was found in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Okay, that's the next part of the section. But what in the world does this mean that Haman made a statement that he wants to ascend to the base, the Achsandra, to the home of Achsandaria de Bar Pandira? There is only one person called Bar Pandira in the entire Shas. And in fact, that person is not even in Shas, it was taken up by the censors. He was a Roman officer who was Ba on Miriam Megadla Seyar. Now, who was Miriam's husband? The Gemara there says who her husband was.
Actually, the Virgin Mary. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, right. So then when did this person live? This person lived, seemingly about 110 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even more maybe. 110 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We know, we've discussed many times, that according to most of the commentators, there is more than one Yeshu HaNotri. There's a Yeshu HaNotri who lived approximately during the time of the Churban, during what we call the year zero. Right, that's the count, which is 70 years before the Churban, and then there was one who lived about 100 or 110 years before that. There's more in Chazal. It is clear that there were two people who we call Yeshu HaNotri. One during the time of Rabbi Shubin Prachya, and one during the time of Rabban Gamliel, who lived during 70 years before the Churban, who lived during the time. 70 years before the Churban. which is approximately the date from which the secular date is calculated from. So there are at least these two. Some even want to say there were three. And some want to say there were even more. And what today the Christians refer to is a composite of all of these people who participated in bringing forth this their religion, their Avodah Zarah.
Have to be the one who did the time of the Beis Hamikdash.
What?
If he supposedly in the Gospels overthrew the money changer stable.
I don't know.
It had to be the one that lived in the Beis Hamikdash.
I don't know. A lot of things. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the history. I'm not familiar. There are people. I don't know. There are people who are big bekim in these inyanim. I really know from very little.
But the
oh, so he's called there. I think it's not even in the old Gemaras it was taken out. In the new Gemaras they put it back in. So what it says over here in the Sral Siba Medinos is this statement means that Haman, when he saw that his no matter what he did, he's not going to live, he said, now this again is a Targum Sheni. This is a Targum Sheni, and this is like really off the charts. This is that he said, I'll come back to take my revenge as Yeshu HaNotzri. I'm going to come back. I'm going to die now, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and live in 200 years from now. I will be reincarnated. I know it's really way off. I'll be reincarnated in 200 years from now. I will come back. I'll come back to the home of this person, and I will have relations with this woman, Miriam, the godless Seir. I will father a child, and that child will bring untold death and Tsar to Klal Yisrael, which unfortunately is true. And this Targum is really also one of the sources why it's not a coincidence that both Yeshua Notri and Haman died the same type of death. They were crucified. The Tzaliva. They both died through the death of Taliyah.
In the same time also.
Not the same time, it was 200 years later. This event.
The same time of the year, it was Pesach then.
Was Pesach? Well, that was the second Yeshu. The second Yeshu was Pesach time. The first one, okay, it's not really clear. Okay, I'm just throwing out something which is very, very off the charts. Haman said, "I'm not just going to die. Let this go by. I am going to get in. I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to take revenge, not in this point in time, but 200 years from now, I'm going to begin something that's going to cause Tsar to Klal Yisrael throughout the rest of history." And I mean, to say such a thing, you can't say such a thing. And this is something more like you would expect a Ramami panel to say. Right, this is something more like a Ben Yehoyada would say, these type of things, these Kabbalistic inyanim. But it's very rare you find a remez to such a thing in a Targum. Targum
Sheni was before or after?
The first Targum?
Targum Sheni, this is before Yeshua or after?
Targum Sheni was after Yeshua. After Yeshua. Certainly after Yeshua. Targum Sheni was probably during the time of the Churban. Same time, like during the time of the Talmud, even before the Talmud, but it was after Yeshua L'chaira, and that's what it says. I mean, these are very, very interesting words. One more time, he went in when he saw v'chad chazah haman d'lo mishtamin miloy. He saw that his attempt to pacify Esther and Mordechai failed. Nital, he cried. Nital ay layo ubechisa. He brought forth a cry. Now, I don't know what the significance of this is. Al nafshei b'mitzius l'ginas b'insa. He went into the garden. Mesiv, he raised up his voice. V'chein amar. Atzitzuli ilonaya. V'chol shesilaya di shesolis min yomi bereshis. Listen to me, trees. Debar hamdasa bo'ei misuk. I'm going to enter le'achsan darya debar pan dira. And that is the father of Yeshu HaNotri. I'm going to be there in that room. I'm going to be the neshama that's going to be created through that act. And I'm going to come back to this world and bring a horror and tsar to Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Parak Zayin. I'm sorry, Parakhes. Let me turn the page. Parakhes, we begin now. Bayomahu on that day, Nosan Hamelech Achashverosh Leser Hamalkos Beis Haman Tzorer HaYehudim. Achashverosh gave over to Esther Hamalka the home of Haman the Tzorer HaYehudim. Umordechai Bolifne Hamelech Ki Yigid Esther Mahullah. Mordechai came before the king, and now all the secrets were revealed. It was revealed that Haman, Achashverosh, Amin Mordechai, was her relative, was either her cousin or was her uncle. And does it say here that they were married before? I don't know. It doesn't say that. That's a little bit going a little bit far to say that really he was married to Esther, maybe. Does not say anywhere. But he revealed all of the secrets.
He certainly wouldn't have told Ahasuerus then.
That he was married to her?
Yeah.
Maybe he meant I was married to before. I was married to her before you married her. I was married to her. No, it wasn't the Basula. It doesn't say anywhere that she was a Basula. He took both the Basulos and the non-Basulos. Non-Basulos. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. What are the issues here in this puzzle? First, Rashi. Mm-hmm. Rashi, Mohu La, Eichu Karoiv La. He described their family lineage. In other words, until now it was assumed that Esther was taken as an orphan off the street. When Mordechai, when during the time of the Churban, as they were escaping in all of the chaos and confusion, Mordechai found a child lying in the street, which he took and he adopted as his own, and therefore no one really knew who her lineage was, or where she came from. Now it was revealed that's not true. The truth is that she indeed was the niece or the cousin, depending on how we learned, of Mordechai, and now it was understood their relationship. Targum, let's see, Targum Pasuk Aleph. On that day, Mosar Malka Achashverosh Le Esther Malka Soyos Beso de Haman. He gave to Haman the home of Haman. Who is Haman? Meik Yehudoe. Meik, we always had until now, is the Tzorer, the arch enemy, the bitter enemy of the Jewish people. Vyos En Noshe Beso. He also gave over all the people of the home. Vyos called Tisbiroi. Now, Tisbiroi means. I'm not sure what the word tisperoi means. Okay, tisperoi, assets, some word for assets. Okay, you know what the word means by any chance? Tisperoi, I'm not sure. Vyos kol asrei, and all of his assets, all of asrei means locations. Wherever he owned property, that it would be now became the portion of Esther. Or Mordechai, all he entered Kodah Malka before the king. Arum Chavias le Esther Mohu Lo. Esther explained. She relayed Chavias, always means to speak, to relate, to express Mohu Lo, their relationship. Now the question over here is, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of giving the home of Haman to Esther? Normally, when a person is killed because he is a moirid de malchus, the assets become the portion of the king, not of the queen. So what is happening here? So the Mefarshim want to say that the Achashverosh here was making a statement, a public statement, that I give you.
Tisbara is a treasure or a storehouse.
Treasures or storehouses. Okay, so it's assets. His assets, and then the next word, Asra, is the real estate. His home, his people, his assets, and his real estate. His properties that he owned throughout the world was given to Esther. Now normally the rule is that when a person rebels against the king and is killed, the assets go to the king, not to the queen. Here, Achashverosh was making a new law. He was stating that Esther also has independence as a king, not a king or queen. Normally there's Moirid Malchus, the king and the queen, it's just one unit, it's one entity, and Mashakana Isha Kanabala. So if a person rebels against the king, the assets go to the king. Here Achashverosh is making a statement that the queen is an independent entity. She's a corporation. She herself also has the status of an independent leader. Therefore, if you rebel against her, just like if you rebel against the king, the assets become part of the king. Likewise, if you rebel against her, your assets become her property. So, in other words, he was making a public statement that Haman. The rebellion of Haman was not against Achashverosh, it was against Esther. It was against the Jewish people, and therefore the rule is the assets of the rebellious party becomes property of the king. In this case, it is Esther. So it was a public statement that the world should not think that Haman was killed because Haman rebelled against the Melech. The world should realize Haman was killed because he rebelled against the queen, against Esther. And that, of course, would help for Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael now were at great danger. The letters were still in force, which allowed the world to attack and destroy and Ushlolam Lovais, and to possess the assets of the Jewish people. Now, when people saw that if you rebel against the Jew, you're rebelling against the queen, because the queen is Jewish, and if you're going to harm one of her people, one member of her nation, you're rebelling, your assets are going to be taken and given to her. So this was a technique which would seem to reverse the gezerah of the previous letters. There would be, because obviously, according to this interpretation, Ahasuerus was well aware that he now is in a very difficult position. He sent out letters which stated that the people are allowed on the 30th day of Adar to wipe out the Jewish people. By doing this, he's making a statement, you're not allowed to do this because the queen is an independent authority, and it goes without saying that if you rebel against her nation, you're rebelling against her, and your assets will become part of her property, just like it normally becomes the key property of the king.
You saved the Jews throughout the Middle Ages because the Jews were considered the chattels of the king. And if you took some action against the Jew,
who murdered
them
up. Malchus. Okay, so that's what he wanted to make clear. Now we're going to see soon, and this is also a very difficult part of the Megillah. We're going to see soon that Esther was not satisfied. Esther, even though it would appear that at this point in time you can end the Megillah and we can live happily ever after, the letters were sent out to the entire world. Everyone knew the letters were nonsense. Everyone knew that you're not going to go start up with a Jew, because Mordechai was paraded through the street. Esther, the queen, is Jewish, so you would assume no one's going to make trouble. Achashverosh knew his customers, and this is a very telling yisod in the Megillah and Golas. Halacha biyodeinu Esav sone Yaakov. The hatred of a non-Jew for a Jew is so deep. It's buried. It's rooted in the deepest levels. Even if on the books you're not allowed to harm a Jew, they'll find a way. They'll find a legal loophole. Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. They'll find a legal loophole. They'll find an excuse to harm the Jewish people. Here, Achashverosh, he sent out letters. Technically, there was permission for the non-Jews to kill the Jews. Even though Mordechai has been elevated to a very great stature, and even though Esther is the queen, they'll find a way. Achashverosh figured what he'll do in order to satisfy the population is give Esther independence, autonomy. To give her autonomy, she will be viewed as an independent leader. And if you rebel against her, your assets go to her. And that maybe will be enough to satisfy Mordechai and Esther, and we can hope that the people are not going to attack, they're not going to kill the Jewish people. It's a very major statement here that the king, he gave Esther, the king, the base Haman. Okay, now there's another important idea in this pasuk. It says here, it's Sorer HaYehudim. There's a Krivich Sef. We read it HaYehudim, but it's spelled HaYehudim with two yud. So we discussed this at length, is that whenever you spell something, you make something from a singular to plural, it means you have to add a yud mem. So when it says here HaYehudim, it means that Haman was such an enemy of the Jewish people, he didn't just hate the nation. He hated every single person, every single Jew. This is very interesting in the news. Today, you know, it's not politically correct in the secular world to be a racist, or to be to harm another person. That, Baruch Hashem, it's not politically correct. So when you hear different people, they protest in the college campuses with boycott and what is it called? BDS. It's nothing personal against the people of you hear this every so often. We're nothing personally against the college professor here or against the Jewish students. We have nothing against the people, the individuals. Some of my best friends are Jews. Yeah. Some of the students in my class, I have a girlfriend who's Jewish, right? We're against the nation. We're against the state. The state of Israel, that is what we have a problem. Occupation, this is what our problem is. We're against the Hayehudim. And when you say Hayehudim with only one yud, it means the nation. When you say Hayehudim with two yuds, it means not just the nation. I hate every single person. Wherever I can find a Jew, I hate him. I will attack him. I will harm him. It's not just the people. It's not just the state. It's the individual. Here, the pasuk here makes it very clear to us when there are two yuds. Who is Haman? Haman is the tzorer, the enemy of the Hayehudim. It's not just the Hayehudim. It's not just, maybe publicly, when you read it, when you go in front of the camera, you can make the statement, you can say, I have an issue with the state, the state of Israel, but the kri, but the ksiv, the way it's really spelled, the true secret is, I don't just hate the state of Israel, I hate every single Jew I see in the street. That's what's being alluded to over here in this pasuk, and that also explains why the idea that we mentioned before, Achashverosh has on his hands a very big problem, because even though Esther is Jewish and Esther has now been elevated, everyone knows what's happened, and Mordechai has been elevated to a great position. Still, in all, the letters have been sent out in 11 months. In 11 months, people out there are looking for blood. Halacha biyadeinu Esav sonei Yaakov. A lot of things can happen in 11 months. People forget very quickly. People forget what happened yesterday. We learned with Achashverosh. Mihu zevi ezehu Hashem lo libo. You, only 3 days ago, you're the one who signed off on this. All of a sudden you forgot? Yeah, it's convenient to forget. It's very convenient to forget. He has a big problem. He's trying over here to cover up the problem by giving Esther autonomy. If you rebel against the Jew, you're rebelling against the queen. It's a technique. But the pasuk over here tells us it's not going to be enough, because Haman was the tzorer ha-Yehudiyim. He hated, his hatred was so great, and that hatred was contagious among the people, and they still wanted blood, and that's what we're going to have now, the whole rest of the Megillah, all more and more. This is really a very important mussar in the Megillah. There's never enough you can do in Galus to protect yourself from the Umos HaOlam. No matter how comfortable you think you are, no matter how many laws have been passed, freedom of religion and freedom of press and all the different rights that you have, you can never have enough, because Halacha biyadeinu Esav sonei Yaakov. We're now going to see here layer upon layer upon layer of additional protection that Klal Yisrael is seeking to shelter themselves from the hatred, even though us standing here in the 21st century looking back, we would say, enough! Enough! You did enough already to protect yourself. Esther is the queen. Mordechai is the Mishnah Lamelech. You don't have to worry anymore. No. First, everyone should know the base. Haman goes to Esther. What?
Achashverosh seems to also show that attitude.
He seems to know his customers.
Why? Haven't I done enough for you yet? And then
okay.
We need more and more.
More and more. Multiple layers. This is what we leave with the story of the Megillah. Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. We don't say Hallel on Purim. We are still slaves. We're still in the mentality. We're still living in the era of Achashverosh. Are we living in Achashverosh? The most important parakim to know in the Megillah is Perek Ches, Perek Tes, Perek Yud. Watch out. Watch your back. Watch your back. You can never be safe in Golos.
You could do it contemporary also, that the people who hate the Jews, including the EDS Jews, they hate the Yud Yud in the Jews. They hate the
Shem Hashem.
Hashem's.
The Yehudim, you hate the Yud Yud, very nice. The Yud Yud is a remez for Hashem's name. Very nice. They hate the Yud, the Kedusha. Nosan Hamelch Selitzkir Mohuluk. Let's go Pasik Bez. Vayos Melchas Tabato Ash Al Asher Hevi Mehaman. The king took off the Tabato Asher Hevi Mehaman. Now, interesting, he does not tell us where he took it off. He took it off. Doesn't say it anywhere. At some point in time, the tabas that was given to Haman was removed and was returned to Achashverosh. He now took this tabas off. Ayitna leMordechai, gave to Mordechai, vatosem esteres Mordechai al beis Haman. Question: why this pasuk says there was a two-step process? The ring was removed from Haman and was put back on the finger of Achashverosh, and then it was removed from the finger of Achashverosh and given to Mordechai. Why couldn't Achashverosh take it directly? Go directly from Haman, could take it from Haman, take it off the finger of Haman, and put it on the finger of Mordechai. Why did the ring have to go through the middle, the little process of going through Achashverosh? So this is Vayos HaMelchas Tabato Asher. He took off, which means it is. On his own. It's on his own finger. That's a simple reading. Asher Havir Meham, which was taken away from Haman. Now Vayidna Lemordechai. Vatosem Esther. And then another expression. Vatosem Esther. It's Mordechai al Beis Haman. These assets, which have now been given to Esther, who was in charge. It was Mordechai was now in charge. Now, so here is some of the explanation. This is one idea. We have a principle that Mechias HaMolek, not only are we required to destroy HaMolek, we're also mechuyev to destroy their property, their assets, their possession. So how then was Esther allowed to keep the possessions of Haman? And Mordechai, how is he allowed to remain in charge? Isn't this a prohibition of Shulchan Aruch that Mechias HaMolek demands that the assets be destroyed? So we have an answer of Amoin Umoyav Tiharoi b'sichoin. Amon u'moav, we are not allowed to conquer the nations of Amon u'moav. Okay, lo tiskar b'muhammad, the Torah says, ki nirusha l'v'ne'esan, I don't remember all the psukim, but there is a prohibition for Klal Yisrael to conquer the lands of Amon u'moav. This is the property of Esav. We're not allowed. How then was Klal Yisrael allowed to take the land that was the Eiver HaYarden, which part of that land on the Eiver HaYarden was originally the Yerusha of Amon u'Moav, and Amon u'Moav are descendants of Esav, which we have no right to touch. The answer is, we didn't take it directly from them. Sichon Melech HaEmori went to war with Amon u'Moav and succeeded and conquered a section of their land.
Shoftim, they had the Taina all the way back, and that was his Taina back.
Possibly, but it was not a good Taina. It was not a valid Taina. Chazal, this is a very popular expression. Amon u'Moav, the land of Amon u'Moav, which is off limits. Ki Yerushal levnei Esav nasati yishar Seir. Amon u'Moav is included in Seir. It's off limits to us. It was purified through Sichon Melech HaEmori. Sichon went to war against Amon u'Moav, succeeded, and conquered a section, a chunk of their land. So when we now went to war against Sichon, who we are permitted to wage war, so we took this land for ourselves, but we did not take it directly from Amon u'Moav, we took it indirectly through a middleman. Sitting over here, the assets had to first go back to the Melech. Because if the assets would go directly from Haman to Mordechai, we would not be able to derive benefit. Even the loss, that's the entire theme here. First, Haman was eliminated. His assets, his power was restored to Achashverosh. It's now Tohar. It's cleansed. It's gone to the king. We have no issue with the king. Our issue is with Amalek. Now, the king has now given over the assets to Esther, to Mordechai. So it's the same principle. Amon u'Moav tiharo b'sichon. This is one answer. Another answer to this question, which doesn't answer the question why it had to go through double step, is that Haman's family, Haman's parents or grandparents, this goes back 70 years, were members of the army of Nebuchadnezzar. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they found enormous treasures. Treasures of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And these treasures were taken by Haman and his family, and he yarshed it, he had it, and it was in his possession. So the rule that we are not allowed to derive benefit from the assets of Amalek only applies to assets that are theirs from the very beginning. But property that once belonged to us, stolen treasures that clearly belonged to Klal Yisrael, that was taken away from us by Amalek, but now is returned, now we reconquered, since when we traced the money trail, when we traced the actual roots of where this, the assets came from, then it is mutter. We learned yesterday that Haman took a beam from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How did Haman have access to a beam from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to build the gallows for Haman? It's because he yarshin the assets, the treasures from the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the time of Nebuchadnezzar 70 years ago. He had in his possession, and his home was also built from the money of the base HaMidrash, the Chubin, the Bayis Sheni. And the fact that Medrash says very clearly is that Mordechai donated all of the money from Haman to rebuild the base HaMikdash. So the assets of Haman are being used. How could that possibly be to go take money that comes from an unholy source from Haman HaRasha? We're going to use his assets to build the base HaMikdash. It's not, maybe technically it's mutter, but it's not something which is very nice. It's not a very pleasant thing to know that the base HaMikdash, the base HaKnesses, is built with funds that come from unholy sources. It's not a very nice thing. Very big question. Fundraising. Are you allowed to go take money from people who are involved in activities that are not do not have a Jewish flavor?
Nazi reparations.
So that was almost a civil war. Nazi reparations in Eretz Yisrael, that was they almost brought about a civil war in Eretz Yisrael, if it was ethical to take money. According to many historians, the state of Israel could never have been established, could never have survived. Germany, but they paid for that.
Germany paid for it.
No, we paid for it.
Who paid for it?
Jews.
Yeah.
State of Israel. They didn't do us any favors. They pay through their nose for those submarines. What?
Germany paid half an amount for the submarine.
They did? That's what it says?
What?
As a gift?
Yeah.
Part of reparations?
Yeah, I mean, they were blackmailed, I think, by, who was it? Under Prime Minister, maybe Sharon, who told them, you're sending supplies to Iran for a chemical warfare to Iraq.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I have to do my homework. I don't know. But
the buses in Israel were all Mercedes-Benz.
All Mercedes-Benz, right? They're all German. Again, this right. This all goes back to the early years of the state. Okay, but over here the issue is that the Beis HaMikdash was built from the assets of Haman. There's nothing wrong whatsoever, because where did Haman get his money from? All of Haman's wealth was stolen from the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash. So the money is just going back to where it came from. It's not a violation of the halach of Mechias HaMolek. Okay, now over here there's a very beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye, I don't think he wrote a parish on the Megillah. I think he wrote it somewhere on Chumash. I don't remember where he quotes it from. But he says, what's this in Vayosar HaMelech's Tabato Asher Hever Mehaman Vayidal Mordechai? A tabas is round. It's round, it's a circle. And this pasuk captures the theme of the Megillah, is the poor of Haman, Nepach Lipudenu. What he tried to do to Klal Yisrael turned upon him. And what all of his assets, his wealth, came to us. It's a circle. It's a Gilgul HaChoyzer. A ring is a tabas. What you tried to do to us came upon you. And all of your wealth and success that you have accumulated, it just went to the other side like a circle, which
goes around.
What goes around comes around. So this pasuk over here is really capturing al derech duash the entire situation. At this time, the melech Achashverosh, who until now was on the side of Haman, agreed and signed on the dotted line everything that Haman wanted to do to the Jewish people. He took away that koyach, that tabas, Asherheva mehaman vayidin l'mordechai. What goes around comes around. Okay, let's see the Targum of pasuk. Let's see the Rashi. Yeah.
Also, another one of those Yosef parallels.
The
Paro takes off his
tabas. Another significant parallel gives it, right? Okay. Vayasar Melchus Yaviyah, there is no rational to the Targum, Targum Pasuk Beis, Va'ade Malka Yos Situmta De Izkosa. He took off the signet ring. Kesitumta the iskasa. Those two words together. I'm not sure how they translate. Di avid mehaman, which avir, which removed from Haman. The hava lemordechai v'shavias Esther yasmordechai rav. He made him a rav v'sarchon. Kesarchon is another expression of a leader and a diplomat or a person of power. An official. Al Ginisei de Haman, on the Ginisei means the assets, the base or the home of Haman. Pasuk Gimel. Now comes Esther. Esther is not satisfied. But Tosef Esther va to the Berlif Nehamelech. Tosef still she added. Added in those, it's not enough. What you have done for us is insufficient. You have given us the bay. You've made public statements. You have done things which indicate that you are on our side, and the people should not do harm to the Jewish people. But she said it's not enough. That's a civil interpretation. A different additional interpretation the Farshim give is over here. It says Hamelech does not again say the Melech HaChashverosh, and it means that it's a continuation. But Tilbash Esther Malchus. Their Chazal interpreted to mean Melamed Shalavsha Ruach HaKodesh. When she went into the king to ask him to come to the party, she dressed herself in Ruach HaKodesh, a spirit, a holy spirit. Here, she needed even more Ruach HaKodesh, even more, or even a greater degree of Ruach HaKodesh to come up with the proper words and expression and Siat Dishmaya to succeed in convincing Achashverosh to take back the letters, or as we'll see, to send new letters to be mevatel, or to counteract the original gezeira. So here it's an additional degree of kedusha that she added to the previous kedusha of Atilbash Esther Malchus. That the Berlif Nehamelach, she spoke Lif Nehamelach, Vatipol Lif Ne Raglov, she fell before his feet, Vatifk, and she cried, Vatishan Lo, and she beseeched him, Lahavir, to remove Esther As, the evil Haman Huagogi, V'yesmach HaShavto, Asher Chashav Al HaYehudim, to remove. This was her attempt to remove the evil decree was still in force. 11 months is a long time. People are going to forget. They're going to fall back on the letters, and the Jews are in very great danger. Some of the Farshim want to explain is that everything that Achashverosh did until this point in time, technically and legally, only freed two people, Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther are the only ones now that are outside of the Gezerah. But Mordechai and Esther felt, and Achashverosh felt, listen, you're part of us now, you're part of my nation now, you're part of me. The Jewish people, what do you care about? You're safe. You have to think of the mentality of a guy. A guy, selfishness. If your hide is okay, what do you care about someone else? Esther, Mordechai, you're in my cabinet, you're okay, you're safe, you have nothing to worry about. What you're worried about? All the yidduch on the other side of the world. What do you care about them? What do you have from them? You're part of the new world. It's now the 21st century. You're part of government. You don't have to care about the old. In Achashverosh's mind, Yadus doesn't mean anything. Esther over here is telling Achashverosh, you fool, that by a Jew, there's no such thing as being an individual. The whole essence of being a Jew is to be part of the greater picture, to be part of the nation, the Am. And that's what this pasuk comes to emphasize. What exactly was her cry? Asher choshav al ha-yehudim, upon the nation, on the nation. It's not just the individual, it's the nation. See, I think it exists very well with the previous pasuk. In pasuk Beis, where it says, I'm sorry, pasuk Aleph, when Achashverosh comes to pacify Esther and Mordechai, the kri, the ksiv is ha-yehudiyim, the individuals. Ha-yehudiyim. So basically Achashverosh is telling Esther, listen, Haman, he hated each individual Jew. It's not about the nation. So you're okay, you're safe. You're safe. Here in Pasuk Gimel, Vatosef Esther, doesn't stop spelled Hayehudiyim. It's spelled Hayehudim. She's telling Achashverosh, he's making a big mistake, even though it's true that that Haman, he hates the Hayehudiyim, but as far as I'm concerned, the nation is what counts. And if there's going to be one Jew that's going to suffer at the hands of Achashverosh, I am concerned that I'm willing to risk my life. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Lehavir Esra'as Haman, Shlo Tiskayim, Atzos Lehara, his evil counsel. Targum Pasuk Gimel, the Sifas Esther Lalas Kodam Malka Unifalas Kodam Ragloi Uvichias, she cried Ufaisas Lei, and she was Mephais him. She entreated before him Livatolo Yos Bishas to annul the evil Haman. Bishas Haman, Dimin Yichus, who is Haman? Haman, you have Agagi. So here she is relating to Achashverosh, his lineage. Yichus the Agag, Vyos Zim Yoinei, his plan, De Chashav Al Yehudoin, that he planned to do to the Jews. Now notice the difference between Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Aleph, when the Melech Achashverosh, when he speaks to Esther and he describes Haman, or at least it's understood, Haman is described as an individual who is Tzorer HaYehudim or HaYehudim. Here in Pasuk Gimel, when we describe Haman, it's not that he's a Tzorer, he's an Agagi. It goes back deep, it goes back generations. She's coming here in a very subtle way. The Pesukim are coming to show a very great difference of approach and understanding of who the person is. Achashverosh was a superficial person. He looks at Haman. Who is Haman? I don't care about your yichus. Haman was a miyuchas. He was a 20th generation directly back from Esav HaRasha. Achashverosh doesn't understand that. As far as Achashverosh is concerned, there's no difference between Haman and any other person walking in the street. Who is Haman? He's a person who is a Tzorer HaYehudim. He hates every single individual Jew. Esther says, no, you fool. My husband, you fool. Someone sent me a joke yesterday. Text. What's the difference between the relationship, A man and a wife, who are a husband who has a disagreement with his wife, a husband who has a disagreement with his wife, and a person who has purchased a Powerball lottery ticket. What's the difference between these two people? Two people walking in the street. One of them has fighting with his wife, and one has a ticket, a Powerball ticket. The difference is, the one that has a ticket has a chance of winning. The other one has no chance of winning. So here Achashverosh, there's a disagreement between Achashverosh and Esther as to understand the nature of this person Haman. Achashverosh is a simple-minded person. He's just Haman. He's one person. He's a Tzorer HaYehudim of the individual people over here. So listen, you're safe and secure. We got rid of Haman. He's safe and secure. Don't worry. You're safe. What's going to happen to the other people? No, don't worry. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't be good. It's not your problem. Esther says, no. Haman, this fight, this thing of Haman, it goes back 20 generations. Haman is not just Stam, a Tzorer HaYehudim. Haman is a Gogi. He is a Ben Achar Ben of Esav HaRasha. He comes from Agag. The Agag is the king of Amalek. Amalek was the grandson, the inical of Esav. And the king of every king in Amalek is called Agag. This hatred goes back 20 generations. He's not just a Tzorer HaYehudim of the little people. He's a hater of the Jewish people, not of the individuals. And therefore, the danger that we are in is enormous. You are making light of a very, very difficult situation. It's a very important contrast between Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel in how we describe the nature of the man and what his agenda. Achashverosh is just a Tzorer HaYehudim. It's a Tzorer, and it's referring to the HaYehudim, the individuals. Esther says you're wrong on two accounts. He is an Agogi, 20 generations deep of hatred, and he hates the HaYehudim. And there's probably even more. There's probably more than you come over here. I want to describe the evil of the Esmach HaShavtai. His Machshava is his zima was his plan. The plan is still in effect. Okay, we'll probably I didn't prepare all that much on this, so probably Belinda will come to more ideas. I'll work backwards the later point in time. But let's in the meantime cover some ground. Let's go now to Pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. So when she comes before him, she falls before his feet. It says in the Pasuk, "Vayosha melcha leester eight sharvit hazahav." He extends to her the sharvit hazahav. Vatakam, and she stands. And Vatakam esteh batmol lefnei melcha, and she stands before the king. Okay, there is no Rashi. The Targum very quickly says, "Vayishit malka leester yos tigda didahava." The royal scepter. The is de kofas esteh. She stood up. She was Tokom. Tokom, I guess, means it's two different expressions. Tokom va ta'amod. She lifted herself up. The is de kofas. She stood erect. The kamas, and she approached Kodam Malka. She, I guess, she came near, but ta'amod before the king. Pasuk.
The reason why these last two Sukkim Aleph and Beis have their own little stuma, their own little
why? In which would last two Perakim?
No, Pasuk Aleph and Beis are in a. You know,
what do you mean, stumos?
It's the samach.
That's a samach.
Oh, the samach at the end?
Yeah. Only beis.
Okay.
You have the
beis.
You have the beis. All of the beis are together, but usually they're big sections here. They don't have any.
Okay, let me see.
The last one is beginning.
Perichas bayom hahu. And there's a samach after, okay, vatosif, okay, vayomahu, okay, you good point. The parochim, we have to remember also that the chapter breaks are not of Jewish origin.
No, the samach is.
The samach is. So it would then appear, okay, so from pasuk aleph to pasuk beis is a complete independent section. Right? That's an independent section, which makes sense.
There's another one, unless you, like you said, if it's a nebuah, vatosif Esther, so that's where that whole parasha took.
Okay, there are mafarshim that suggest that this whole thing is referring to the future generations. And that's a little bit extreme, but you make the pasuk aleph and beis is an independent theme. Over here, the Haman has been executed, and Achashverosh on his own, he says, okay, Haman has been executed, let me help you out, let me help out the Jewish people, I don't want them to be killed, and he does what he wants to do, like we mentioned, we discussed in great length. He gives her, Achashverosh gives the base Haman, and he takes off the tabas, and Esther now becomes, Mordechai is the Mishnah Lamelech, and Esther appoints Mordechai. Achashverosh, as far as he is concerned, he says, okay, let's get on with it. We're done. We eliminated the enemy. The Jewish people are safe and secure. We're finished. Now we begin a new theme. Now we begin, Pasuk Gimel indeed begins a new theme, is that Esther says, you know, you're making a big mistake. You don't appreciate the severity. You don't understand that we are in mortal danger. You're making light of a very difficult situation. That's what we expressed. Agogi and Hayuhudim, not Hayuhudim. Now, Pasuk Dalid, she stands before the king. Let's go to Pasuk Hay. Pasuk Hay says, Vatoimer im al melech tov im otzasichin lefanav v'chasher ha'davar lefnei ha'melech v'toyva ani be'inav. So all of these various, all these elaborate expressions. Maybe we'll come back to this another time. I don't have anything now on this. Yikosev. Now here's a very important word. Lechashiv es ha'sefarim. Esther's original demand is to retrieve the letters. Okay, the letters have been... Revoke the letters. The law has been passed. Achashverosh made light of it. No one's going to do anything. Don't worry. No, lehoshiv to retrieve. Okay, it's the same idea. Lehoshiv es hasadim, machashaves, Haman ben Hamadaso Hagog. Again, she repeats.
No one opened the letters, right? You
know. There were two letters. One letter was liyos asidim layayim hazeh, and the second letter was sealed. The second, so therefore, no one knows anyway. So the damage is not yet in effect. So therefore, retrieve the second letter.
Lehoshiv es. You can sometimes retrieve it.
That's a new thing that Google has recently launched.
It's an outlook at it all along.
No, you can't do it. Only when you're a Google recipient.
Years ago.
Outlook, it's impossible. Once it's already been released from your server.
I'm telling you, it had it for over 10 years.
I don't know how you can do that. The technology doesn't exist to undo an email. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. All right, whatever. So here she's coming to explain that. The key word over here is she wants lehoshiv. She wants to be revoked. Now let's see over here, Pasuk Hey. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum, Pasuk Hey. Va'amaras in al malka shapir, the in if ashkochis rachamin, if I find mercy kodomohi before the king, v'sakin piskamo kodomalka, my words, my ideas are pleasant before the king, v'tavos anot kodomohi, I'm good in his eyes, be'inoi, yifakeid malka, may issue a decree, v'yosim te'em l'michtaf, and he shall give reason to write, l'mheve taivin. To return, lehoshiv. You should write a new law, and the new law should instruct the messengers to go and to retrieve the first letter. Patkaya Zimyoine de Haman, the letters of Zimyoine of that have been the plan, the Patkaya Zimyone, the letters of the Machsheves, the plan of the Haman Bar Hamdasa, the Minyichus Agag, the Kisav, which he wrote Lehovada, to the Shoy Kol Yehudo in, the Bechol Pilchei Malka, in all of your districts. So the text goes on to say, now furthermore, I saw also in the Shas Minister explains that Esther, if you read between the lines, Esther was telling Achashverosh that we have a lot of trouble, because now it's going to be revealed that you originally, the king, signed off on being la'abed es ha'yehudim. That what was your original you agreed la'abed. Now we had a discussion. The word la'abed was spelled with an ayin or with an aleph, meaning that the Jewish people can be enslaved or the Jewish people can be destroyed spiritually. Haman illegally, when he wrote up the letters, he wrote not just slaves, but destruction, la'abdam, and not just shmat, but physical destruction, genocide, complete obliteration of the Jews. When the people now in the world see that Haman has been executed, all that's going to accomplish is going to restore the law to what it was originally meant to be. And it was originally meant to be la'abdam, either la'abdam with an ayin or la'abdam of shmat. So we've not really accomplished very much by killing Haman, and people realizing that Haman's evil plot has been removed. We still have the original plot that you agreed to. Now maybe that's why it's called machshavta, his thought. A thought is an initial state. The initial plan, the initial thought to present Achashverosh, the plan that was presented to Achashverosh was a reasonable plan which Achashverosh would agree to, was not to destroy, to physically destroy the nation. That's politically incorrect. You can't go and commit genocide. But what you can do is you can pass laws that will force the Jewish people to abandon their religion, to give up Yadus, Shmat. That was the original plan. That's what it's called, the machshavtai. Haman did not allow, that was only a thought. That was only a machshava. What did Haman ultimately do? When he wrote the letters, he went further than his original plan. He extended, he pushed the bar much further, and he wrote, lahashmid, laharog, ule'abed. Complete obliteration. Now that Haman has been put to death, it's going to fall back on the original machshava, people understood, which was la'abdom through shmad. So this is what her request was. Pasuk Vav, she goes on here to beg. This pasuk is in the Mulein Megillah, we lay this in the Nigan of Eicha. Ki Eichacha uchal v'ro'isi boro'o asher yimtso esani ve'eichacha ha'uchal v'ro'isi be'ovdan mo'iladati. So here is a critical pasuk where she expresses that it's not just about me, it's about the nation. I without a nation is a life without a nation is not worth living. Don't think Achashverosh HaYehudiyim, it's just the individual. It's not the individual, it's the nation. And here she clearly focuses on that theme. Now let's see Pasuk, there is no, let's see Pasuk Vav in the Targum. Arum, because Echdein Echol Lesoivara, how can I Ul Lesoivra is to bear, ul mech me, and to see Bivishtodi tiston yos ami, to the evil that will be judged upon my people. Veichdein how echul lemis atoda ulemechmei beidon. How can I stand to watch the destruction? Okay, I do not know the exact translation of these words, but the theme is what the pasuk says: how can I watch the destruction of my malarity, my birthplace? Okay, now here let's go to pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Hamelach Achashverosh Liyaser Hamalko Lemodcha Hayudi Hinei. So here he reiterates Hinei. Beis Haman Nasati LeEster Yoso Tolu Alo Eitz Ala Sheshalach Yodo BaYehudiim. Okay, so here we have a very difficult situation. It's not working. Basically, and this really is, unfortunately, Akate Avdi Achashverosh. Now, this is a very sad part of the Megillah. This is the first part of the Megillah where we don't succeed. We fail. At the Megillah, we were in very great sorrow, and we're going high to the climax. Vayislu es Haman, and now Achashverosh thinks, okay, we got rid of Haman, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then we're like going on a...
It seems they have the same problem we have here, that Esther asked Achashverosh to do an executive law that would withdraw the letters.
Right.
Not to do something officially...
Nothing new. It would be much better to withdraw.
Executive.
And he could have done this.
I send it back to me. But it didn't work out.
He didn't want to do it. He did not want to do it. Let's see. Let's explain.
But it worked out better the other way that you had.
Not necessarily. Did it work out better? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. But this is the Megillah ends off, starting with Perek Ches. With a bittersweet victory. Until Perek Zayin, we're going higher. Vayislu es Haman. But then it doesn't go so well. Here, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Achashverosh on his own does what he thinks is sufficient. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, Esther says, it's not enough, you're not doing enough. Pasuk Zayin says to Esther, too bad, I don't care. You want more? I'm not giving you more. I'm not going to lehoshiv es hasfarim. What I've done is done. He repeats. What do you want from me? You want me to do more? I've done already more than enough. I've already made a public statement by giving the assets of Haman to Esther. Everyone sees that Esther is married the Malchus, you married against Esther, you're going to lose your assets. Hinei beis monasati li Esther. V'yoso tulu aloetz. Ala sheshlach yadu b'yehudim. And notice again, he writes it, b'yehudim. I disagree with you. His hatred is not against just the Yehudim. It's only against the Yehudim, against the individuals. There's no big conspiracy theory against the nation of Israel. It's against a couple of people, the HaYehudim. He maintains, he's in action, Achashverosh. What I've done is enough. He's basically repeating what I've done is enough. He says, if the only thing I will concede is, you can write new letters. Let's do one more pasuk, V'ata, Tem, and you. If you want, Kislu al HaYehudim, Kato b'enechem b'shem HaMelech, but I'm not letting you rescind the other letters. Now we are taught, if you read the pasuk at face value, you'll basically say, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. Once a law has been passed, there's nothing you can possibly do to undo the law. Rashi clearly rejects that. Rashi here says, Ein lehoshiv, ein no'eh. That is a critical word. Lehashivo, it's not proper. And we'll get to the Zayin. We'll come back to Zayin in a moment. But he writes over here, Ein no'eh lehashivo, v'lasois k'sav hamelech b'ziyuf. It's not nice. I'm going to put my reputation on the line that the letter that I sent out was not true, was a mistake. It's ziyuf, it's forgery, it's false. I could. According to Rashi, that one word of Rashi, Ein Noeh, gives over the message, the theme that if I really wanted to, I could. And that would have been a much more powerful statement to the world that the Jews are safe and secure and don't mess with the Jews. The fact that Achashverus says, I don't want, let the letters, Lahashmid, Laharagu, La'abed, Eskol HaYehudim, let it be on record. Let it be out there. Let it be online. Someone will Google it, they'll find it. There's also an exception that the Jews, if you want, because you're my wife, I acquiesce. You can write other letters that the Jews can protect themselves. So here he's very critical. He is reiterating, I've done already enough. Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis, I disagree with you. It's not against the nation. It's against a couple of people. There's nothing to worry about. I don't care. And don't go tell me to do something which is not no'er. I don't want to do it. It's too bad. And all of your bakosh, these very powerful expressions of this is powerful stuff. I don't care. It's not enough. It's not enough. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Now let's see the Targum. First the Rashi. Everyone sees Shani Chafetz Bochem. Everyone already sees that I want you. V'chol ma she'toymu yaminu shakol akol hakol shemeiti hu. V'chol ma she'toymu yaminu shakol shemeitihu. Everyone sees that everything that you say is coming from me. You don't need to go and retake back the old letters. Just write new letters. Everyone will believe the new letters are also authentic, that you can protect yourselves. Because it's not nice. I don't know. As if you read deeper into these words, I don't want to go overboard. We'll stop. I already gave the home of Haman to Esther. The saved Silivu al Kesa. I hung him up. I crucified him on the beam. Begin the Oshid Yidei Biyehudi, because he's trying to extend his hands against the Jews. Pasaches Leatuna New Sarhivu Ganyu Sarhivu Kisuvu. Begin Yehudoin, you shall Sarhin. I don't know what the word Sarhivu. The Pasuk says, I don't know what that word means. Sarhivu kisuvu, right? Begin Yehudoin bar kad shapir, what is good be'enechon b'shum memra the malka, in the name of the king, ustimu be'izkasa desitumta, seal it with the king's signet ring, the malka arum, what?
Sarhiv is to press or urge
quickly,
or order.
Sarhivu, order that it shall be written.
Or to be quick, yeah.
Order that it shall be written in the name of the Jews, whatever you want, whatever good in your eyes, and it shall be sealed with the king, with the signet of the king. Arum pitkom, because the old letters I will not return. Why not? Arum pitkom demichtav b'shum memro demalka u'mistamen that was sealed be'iskasa de'sut mesa demalka lo yisuv reikonu, cannot come back empty-handed. According to the Targum, some argue with this Rashi. Rashi has drawn the attention, drawn the fire of many of the commentators. And the Rashi by Medinos is that there are indications that it was actually law. You are undermining the entire system of government. There's a constitution. What do you want from me? There's a constitution. The letters were sealed with the signet ring of the king. They've been sent forth. There is nothing I can do. You can stand on the top of your head. There's nothing I can possibly do to undo the law that's been sent out. I'm a tzaddik. I agree to you, Esther. Whatever you want, you can have. But this I can't do, because you undermine the entire government. The next best thing is send out another set of letters. And those second set of letters will allow the Jewish people to defend themselves from their enemies. Again, that's what appears to be the interpretation of the Targum. And indeed, this appears to be the majority opinion. Rashi has really gone out on a leg. Rashi has really said a novel Chiddush, I can do it. The law allows for it. There's an escape clause. I don't want, because after everything is said and done, halacha biyodeinu, Esav soyne Yaakov. There's only that much I'm willing to do for the Jewish people. And that is a very stinging message for the Jews, for us in Golas. Watch out. Always watch behind your back. Never forget, halacha biyadeinu esav soni yachav. Okay, we'll stop here.